Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Purple People Eaters podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss what else? The Minnesota Vikings, and obviously, you know, losing to the Cowboys in that fashion, there's a handful of several things you can point to where you're just kind of scratching your head or throwing something at the TV or going, yeah, that sounds about right. Either way, we were actually just talking about it off air, and we were saying, you know, it sucks while it happened, a little bit after it happened, still kind of sucks, right? The Cowboys were struggling to score touchdowns prior to that game, but draft-wise, it may be good in the long run. We are back, though, to talk some Vikings football. It was, I mean, just being on the outside looking in, watching the game, it must have been a fun game to watch. I think there was 5 lead changes. You know, the Vikes got off to a sluggish start, had some turnovers. Defense started out pretty good. Then all of a sudden started kind of getting bled slowly on the run game in Ezekiel Elliott. Obviously didn't finish the game on offense or defense, unfortunately. And didn't win. This is what, the sixth close game out of what, 10 so far? That's a lot of them. We've only won 2 of them that were close. So we will discuss that. We'll obviously look towards next week in the Carolina Panthers. Will Teddy play or not? He has a sprained MCL. And I care about Teddy, so I don't want him to play because I care about him. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I do care about him. Have a little spot in my heart for Teddy, but we'll see. You know, he did practice last week and wasn't able to play. Sounds like he's going to practice tomorrow. So yeah, we'll recap this heartbreaker of a loss, and then we'll preview and predict next week. And of course, per usual, we'll talk about the Golden Gophers to close the show. They got a win, but they will not be playing this week, which is pretty freaking crazy because the last time they hadn't played the Badgers during the regular season was 1906, people. 1906 because of COVID-related issues. So that game is done, which means Wisconsin, who just lost to Northwestern anyway and probably weren't going to be able to go to that Big Ten title game just off that, because there's not many games left, but they now, because they're not eligible, they're ineligible because they've missed so games, will not be able to play. So, I mean, that's some good news. I think that's a little bit of good news. But before we dig in to this here Cowboy Vikings loss and preview and all that good stuff, talking about the purple, I do want to remind you, if this is your first time listening to this here Vikings podcast, you can find it on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives right there. But if you want to, you know, you don't have to go to Blog Talk and download the show there or listen to the browser. You can find the Purple People Eaters podcast under the Ropeadope Radio on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, really almost across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found almost everywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. And before we get into this damn Vikings loss, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. Maybe you cut the cord, you're not happy, maybe you're thinking about it. This is a good option here. They do have a 7-day free trial. There's no annual contracts. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR. And right now, just for signing up, you get a 30-day free trial of HBO Max. Another layer is if you get the Max package, that includes HBO Max, plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11 a month. That's AT&T TV Now. Okay. So, kind of like our guy Zimmer, the one-eyed bandit, the one-eyed pirate, I was just about to say something about a wooden leg, but I don't want that to happen to him, so I won't go down that path. But it's one of those things where he's like, you know, there's positives and there's negatives. And, you know, we're going to look at the negatives. We're going to go over them in film. But we're going to also try to think of the positives, you know. Special teams found a way to get in there and mess up a little bit, which is always funny how they can somehow get in there. There was a fumble actually early on in the damn game. But I want to go ahead and bring in Aaron and kind of check his pulse, seeing how he's doing. I know both of our the businesses that we work for have closed in dining. So we are in the same mode we were in the spring for a little bit here. How's it going on your side, sir?
Just kind of slogging around the house lately. Not much to do. Went grocery shopping, got some groceries and all that. But, you know, on to the game. You know, one of the more disappointing losses I can remember, just because there's so much built up into it. You know, can we win this one and go on and make a season of it? And up and down in the game, Lee changes back and forth, and we end up on the wrong side of it. We lose to a bad Dallas team, and I want people to remember that this is a bad Dallas team we lost to. Chris has some stats on just how anemic that offense has been until they end up in our place. So, you know, you have to look forward to what to make of the season now, and we'll get to that. But just more disappointing a loss. The game, we had it in our hands two or three times and just couldn't hold on to it.
Yeah, dude, once you make that official comeback, there's several times where we could have stayed in front of, or even if we, you know, got back up and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, just that stat right off the bat. And this is a little while back around that Pittsburgh game. They did manage a touchdown in that Pittsburgh game. The rest were field goals. But since – so because they had a bye the week before. But without Dak Prescott, the Cowboys had – one touchdown for 37 offensive drives, and really just two after that, and you could probably add on a handful of more drives. So this was bad. Now, their defense had made a minor bit of improvement, but nothing to the point where it says that we should have lost this game. I mean, obvious. But yeah, just starting things out as we kind of recap the game. We did force a three and out right away. Things looking pretty good defensively, I thought, you know, early. You know, of course, Osborne had to make it, you know, fun and fumble. Luckily, you know, we did recover one of the three fumbles, two of them we lost in the first half, which is never a great thing. Speaking of fumble, Dallas, well, we got the ball back in what was it? A couple of plays later, maybe three, four plays, five plays later, Cousins is in the grasp almost from one guy who, yeah, so he's twisting, his body's twisting right, and then he gets lit up, and somehow, some way, even though it's clear helmet to helmet, that didn't get called. Now, I'm not going to blame the refs for this loss because we should have won the game. I thought, Aaron summed it up really well with how he said we had, you know, numerous opportunities. Will I mention it throughout this recap? Sure. But clearly that was a penalty. However, it was a big hit that was all in one motion. He hit him, blasted him, kind of blindsided, and he only had one hand on the ball, Cousins, because his other hand was kind of tied up. He was getting it free and just got lit up. But not just lit up, but the whole ball stripped. They didn't even catch it live. It happened so damn quick. They went and replayed, and sure enough, he was not down, even though he was on his way down kind of to the right or whatever, kind of going right. Bam, he got hit up. And obviously, a turnover. And like I said, yeah, it could have been helmet, or it should have been helmet to helmet. That gets called all the time on a quarterback anyway. Doesn't get called, you know, on, say, running back running towards the defense. That barely ever gets called, right? But it is what it is. And three plays, 30 yards, boom, it's 7-0. Well, actually, I take that back. It's 6-0 because it is the Cowboys. But right then and there, you know, you had like a Lamb 21-yard catch and then Elliott for a TD. We did block the extra point, but right then and there, it's like, oh, here we go. We've already put the ball on the ground twice.
Yeah, and like you said about that fumble slash in the grasp splash slash targeting or hitting or roughing the passer, all the myriad of things that could have been. You know, Cousins tries to twist away and gets the ball ripped out of his grasp, and then you know they go ahead and review it and give it to him. Now at that point in time in the game, I wasn't, you know, too upset about it. I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, this could have been this, it could have been that. Close call, close play, we'll roll with it. Like you said, they go down the field, score, miss the extra point, very Vikings like, and then Thielen, you know, takes the drive on himself, basically gets 29-yard catch, you know, from running plays from Cook in there, and then another great red zone catch, and Vikings go down and score. Cook gets in the end zone, and it's 6-7. Start to look a little bit better. Defense comes out short.
Actually, drive. Focusing on that round though, or on that that first, you know, scoring drive, Cook did this about four times. At the end of his run, Aaron, he would just lay the wood on someone. And usually, when we get backed up, it was 2nd and 22 on that drive. Those Irv Smith grabs back-to-back were pretty nice, but I loved how Cook just laid the wood at the end of that run.
Yeah, it really set the tone there, and it was a long drive, a great drive. One of the better drives of the season, 12 plays, 75 yards, about 7.5 minutes. This is what you want to see if you're going to run this Kubiak thing that we think we're doing. You want to see drives like that. And the defense comes out and responds, like I said, made it a short drive. You know, Kendricks, I heard an interview maybe last year. Him and Barr got interviewed by Kirk Cousins, as a matter of fact, on Kirk Cousins' show. And they were talking about how they like to bait quarterbacks. They've been together so long and seen enough that they can kind of bait young or inexperienced or, you know, just not great quarterbacks into throwing things they don't want to throw by their positioning and knowing where they can go and get. And I think Kendricks did that on that play, got a great interception, really turned the ball game in our favor at that point. And you start to think, well, you know, if this continues, it's going to go like we think it's going to go, and we'll move on to a win here.
And it was a great freaking diving INT, and he almost made even a more special play later in the game, which would have been just like, wow, dude, put this guy at the all-pro level. Of course, special teams had to, you know, say, hey, don't forget about us. We got a new snapper. We got new pieces, but it kind of turns out to be similar stuff. So we had like a 27-yard catch, nice little dump right where it had to be, and a great over-the-shoulder catch by Jefferson. But then that illegal shift thing with the fake punt, Boyd is up there going, hey, me. It's like, dude. Stop. We get it, but get in position. And it's just like, it's just a perfect example. And I'm not trying to pick on just Boyd. This is just special teams too. But to do what he did on back-to-back plays, it's like, dude, are you, and then you're going to get an illegal block. That just messed it up because the play was there to be had.
Yeah, it was. And all he had to do is not move his feet. You know, you can wave your arms and do everything else, but just get your feet set. For 1 second, you know, and I think he got excited, and I think he saw the play opening up, and he, you know, couldn't contain himself, but that's what you get paid to do, is contain yourself. And so, yeah, we get a great play. We never see us fake punt in years, I think, at least successfully. And it actually happened, and then, like many things here, it didn't happen. So they called that penalty, and so they're thinking, okay, well, that, you know, we tried something, it didn't work. You know, we'll keep going. We're in a good spot here. And, you know, you don't even know what to do at that point. But then you got a great catch from CeeDee Lamb. Dallas's drive is quick but effective.
Heavy dose of Elliott, too.
Heavy dose of Elliott. And, you know, that's been a problem all season, is long first down runs. And I can go on and harp about it, but it's pretty, you know, it is what it is. But the catch by Lamb was an amazing catch. There's a lot of talk about who the best rookie receiver is, and there's a few. I think CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, and Claypool are probably the top three, but I like T. Higgins too. But I think CeeDee Lamb really put his mark on it with that catch. Heck of a catch. Pretty good coverage. I'd like to see these guys turn around and look for the ball a little bit more, but I think, you know, as much as we've been harping about that, it's sort of a league-wide thing where corners don't really have to locate the ball anymore. And I've just seen it a lot. And, you know, that really gives the official the opportunity to make some calls that you probably don't want to see in as far as defensive pass interference and so on.
Yeah, and where he caught that ball, it was going to be hard to locate the freaking thing anyway, right? Because he made such a nice little snatch on that. And this is where the run game really took off for them pretty much, you know, after this run in the, or this drive, and even the drive before, got a holding call back to stop. I think it was second and 20, and it was Bradbury's first holding call of the season. So that's, it hurt us on that drive. We had to punt, but it's a pretty good thing. You know, in the end, we do first force a turnover on downs, you know, which is always nice for the defense. And, you know, we start to move the ball a little bit. We got like, I think it was it Cook that had like a nice 26 yard pass or something like that. But pass and catch, I should say. But, you know, it's like he caught the ball, which would have been a first down inside the Dallas 30. So, you know, when we get in the red zone, we're pretty damn good this season there. And this is one of those NFL catches where so many times, Aaron, you see that that's not a catch because he didn't get two steps down. The difference here, though, is I guess he didn't jump, so he didn't need to get, you know, this is the NFL trying to rule a catch. But I've seen that not be a catch. I've seen it be a catch. I don't know, but it is kind of just a bang, bang play, kind of like the Cousins where he turned around, boom, he got hit. Similar here, Cook got it for like a split second. It just got lit up. They picked it up and ran it out to like the 50.
Yeah, I didn't like the pass, man. I think it's a death pass there. I think it was, you know, Kirk's under duress. You know, I understand he's got to get rid of the ball. It's probably his check down. He had Jefferson behind him for a brief moment, but I re-looked at it again, and it wasn't much. He could have got the ball in there, but it would have been pretty dicey to get it to Jefferson. So he really didn't have a lot of thing, throw it away or throw it to Cook. So I'm not really going to get on Kirk about that. I just think, you know, he kind of set him up in a bad spot to catch that pass. And, you know, 2 feet down, I think he made a football move. So I'm, you know, the turning of the body and kind of, you know, turning your shoulders upfield, I guess can count as a football move. But, you know, these calls are getting a little bit strange in this game already. And I'm starting to get on my referee watch at this point because I'm not liking what I'm seeing as far as the way the game's being called. We make a great play, it's a penalty. We don't make a great play, it's a fine play. So anyways, I'm not going to spend too much time on that or on Kirk. I think Kirk played well. I think he played one of the better games he's played. You know, we'll get into the second half about how that all turned out, but you know, going on, you know, you get that turnover, you're going into half, you started that drive with 150 in it. And, you know, it's hard to say a vet made a mistake. You know, Harrison's been so good on this squad for so long and in the secondary. And I think he just kind of got a little too big for his britches, tried to make a play, jumped a route that he shouldn't have jumped in. Guy got in behind him. He guessed wrong on that play. So give up a field goal. It's now 16-7. And, you know, could have gone a lot better.
You know what I did like, though? The fact that they did get, what, to the 1 or 2 yard line or something like that, and we ended up stopping them. That was pretty nice. I was like, all right, dude, I mean, that sucks, but okay, it's a field goal. No, you know, no big deal. Obviously, we had, what, 2 seconds or something, 5 seconds. We weren't going to do much about it. Then the second half started, and it was a dominant third quarter, to say the least. At the end of it, I think it was 21-6 in plays just in the third quarter alone. The first three times the Vikes touched the ball, they scored on every single one. The play action right off the bat, 51 yards to Thielen, little catch and run there. The whole, I think it was a 9-play, 75-yard touchdown drive. Cousins on a 3rd-and-3 managed to, oh my God, get outside and run, which was kind of weird. Run for a first down, made a 1st-and-goal. And then, of course, you know, the one-handed wow-type grab, just a gorgeous grab from Thielen with the pass interference, by the way. It was pass interference. And so it's 16-14. You're thinking, okay, That's a great. We had the ball first. We went down there and scored. They got a couple of. They got like a first down in there. Ended up having a punt, and then boom, we got the ball back down 16-14.
Yeah, I mean, I left the room thinking that Thielen just couldn't get his hands on that ball. And I went to go grab something to eat, came back as, you know, frustrated, came back, said touchdown. I'm like, what? Saw the replay. He caught it. It was an unbelievable catch. One of the better catches I've ever seen. So now momentum's starting to work our way. You're starting to say, okay, we figured something out. We're going to do this. Defense comes out, forces a punt, three and out. Can't get any better than that. And then the next drive, we come out on offense. And one of the rarest of all unicorns in the NFL, I just can't remember us ever I don't remember seeing this ever called. Maybe you do in your 30 years of watching football. But an offensive face mask, particularly on a stiff arm, it just, he didn't twist the fingers. He didn't do anything like that. He just put the arm out. You know, Derrick Henry, you got accolades for doing that, you know, almost every week. So you got to think, you know, it's the Vikings. They find fun calls for us. But, you know, nonetheless, we move on from that. Jefferson makes a good catch. We get down in the red zone. Who's in the red zone as usual? Thielen. I think he could have picked two guys on that play, Cook or Thielen. Went to Thielen, touchdown. So 16-21, we finally got the lead.
Yeah, and that is funny. Some of these calls, like you said, we're not going to sit here and say these are the reasons why we lost. But it was like, okay, like, sure, buddy. I mean, if that's what you're looking at, you can make that call. And just to back up with the Cook thing, I agree that was a catch, because I believe that if you got a helmet, you got shoulder pads, and you got a cleats on, anything you do on a damn football field is a football move, whether it's dancing, whatever. It's a football move. It's just funny to see how it gets called. But that's the NFL with the catch thing. Yeah, that is funny, though, with the stiff arm. I mean, we at least Boyd did push the guy in the back. But it's funny even to get, like, a holding push illegal stuff when it comes to you're not even trying to block anybody, dude. You're trying to go run and tackle. But Cook had another one of those damn first down runs on that drive, dude, where he knocked the shit out of someone. Jefferson made a nice little comeback to Cousins, who had to get out of the pocket. I agree. Cousins was under duress. I think they said 8 out of the first 14 dropbacks, he got pressure. He was pressured all day pretty much. They did get a little bit better in the second half. Maybe it was we started running better, because I think we only had about 30-some yards at half. But the key, just like last week, we at least gave Cook 12 carries, though. So it wasn't like we were – yeah, the run wasn't going great. We passed – you know, pretty effectively, but then we started getting that run going. So like you said, it's 21-16, and sure enough, they come right back, and it was, once again, it seemed like it was going to be a heavy dose of Elliott. What else are you going to do right there? I mean, that's what I would do too if I was playing, you know, doing the calls. But I mean, what do you call the Chris Jones? They're calling it a business decision. That it's true that that's kind of an old term, but I mean, we're not playing flag football. We're not even playing two-hand touch, Aaron. That was a one-hand touch up high, no safety behind you, or at least blocked. I mean, right then and there, if I had to point to one thing that I was like, dude, if you just tackled him, that could be nothing. That could be a field goal. It takes some more time off the clock. That one is just, it's inexcusable.
It is, and I'd like to hear his side of the story. I'm sure it doesn't change what happened, but just to see what he was thinking, I think maybe you thought, but even, you know, Chris, like you said, even if he didn't make the tackle, force Pollard to make a move, let your guys catch up and get in there for the tackle, maybe move towards something, just get in his way in some way, impede his progress in some way, and he did nothing of that. I think he did manage to tap him on the shoulder pad, so. You know, I guess that kind of counts, but didn't really do any good in the end. And you know, what do you say at that point? I mean, Zimmer pointed out pretty clearly in his press conference that he would see to that. Now, I don't know what that means, but Zimmer tends to have a pretty heavy hammer, so we'll see what happens with that. But he goes a 42-yard touchdown, untouched, basically, thanks to Chris Jones. They go ahead and get a two-point conversion. Nice catch by CeeDee Lamb. Or I think he did a little reverse thing there, which was
a good play call. I like that.
That's 24-21 them. Still games in hand. I mean, you figure you got the time on the clock. You're at home. You've got an offense that can get down and score. Hopefully you can eat some clock. Offense came out. Cook ran the ball just what you wanted to see. Eat the clock and all that stuff. And then out of nowhere, Kirk rolls out and throws a 39-yard just great pass to Jefferson. He had to slow up a little bit at the goal line, but, you know, he managed to catch it great. You know, I'm going to give that, more credit to Kirk for that, for a good ball, because I think it just dropped right into Jefferson if he would have dropped it. No foreshadowing there. If he would have dropped it, it would have been a problem. But we got the lead 24-28. You know, come out, defense is fired up. Johnson gets a sack. Kind of a two-man sack there with Mataafa, but they got pressure, which was nice. I think the pressure was pretty limited on the night. And then they go ahead and block a pass on 3rd and 10 and force the Cowboys to punt. Game's right where you want it. It's right where you want it at this point.
No doubt about it, man. And DJ Wanham got some pressure in there. That was it. Jalen Holmes? Is that who blocked it? I can't remember.
Yeah, but it was Jalen Holmes.
That was nice, dude. That was nice, especially off that last drive. So you got under 6 minutes to play. You're up 28-24. So the defense didn't play well, but hey, they did get a stop right there. So you got to give them credit. Now, are you going to score 4 times when you have the ball? No, but it would have been nice not to only have 4 plays. You know, we had a run of like 13 or 14 straight completions. But I'll say this, on that 3rd down, clearly Thielen got help. I mean, clearly you could see where Cousins was throwing it. You could see where he was going. I'm not going to blame it just on that, but golly, that could have at least burnt some more clock. We talked about this numerous times. Even if you pick up 8 plays and you make them go the whole field or something, just something, you know, something a little bit better than a 3 and out. And like I said, I really think the refs missed that. It was a pretty easy call. Now, not on the other one he was complaining about that we'll get to. But, you know, and of course, we punt it. Lamb, what, 20, 25-yard punt return? It's like, oh, that's a perfect time to give that up. Elliott right up the gut. It was a patient run, but for like 18 yards. And you're like, oh, here we go. And that's when Kendricks almost had that pick. And what's his toes? Was it Boyd? At the goal line had a pick that was actually, you know, obtainable, whereas Hendricks would have been just a crazy-ass, you know, freaking catch. But they even had a false start that got them to 3rd and 10. And on 4th and 6, how many times have we seen this 4th down, Aaron? Cooper got a 1st down run. Boyd almost, like I said, picked it. Schultz wide open with like a 136 or something I wrote down left. Touchdown, 31-28.
Now, as far as Boyd's concerned there, like you said, with that missed interception, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but that's why you turn around and look for the ball, because you're going to get thrown opportunities like that where you can make a play on the ball. And if you're not looking for the ball, you're not going to see it. Now, you know, it was a bang, bang play. It's down at the goal line, but you know, you sealed the game with that. And he went ahead and dropped it, you know, par for the course. And I'm starting to take these 4th downs personally now, like when the other team goes on 4th down, it's starting to really piss me up. Like, you got no respect for us. Yep. And why should they, you know, 4th and 1, like earlier in the game, I can, okay, you know, I can live with that one, but 4th and 6 and anything longer than that, it's just starting to be like, really? I mean, we've been seeing people go on 4th and 10 in the first quarter.
Yeah, right. Midfield, you know, like, we're at our own 40. We can give it a try, I think.
And if I'm pissed, I mean, imagine Zimmer. I mean, he's probably just – anyway, so we get down to brass tacks here. 1:37 left on the clock. We get the ball back, position to win. We're down by 3. All we need is a field goal. And we'll probably spend a little bit of time on this drive, because it really wasn't a drive, and it hasn't been a drive all season. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week about finishing halves and finishing games. And in the last three seasons around the NFL, there's been 168 comeback drives. And that's a myriad of different situations and so on. In those three seasons, the Vikings have one. We have one in three seasons, one of 186 drives. Now, we can nail that to a lot of different things. You know, the Cousins haters will say it's Cousins. You know, the Cousins lovers will say it's Kubiak. There's a million excuses. The guys who think everything's grand except for our defense will say, yeah, we got to stop them. You do got to stop them. And they did stop them twice. And then the offense scored twice. But there's no saying. I don't think there's another team in this league that's been so inept at 137 on the clock. It doesn't even get close to the 40 yards or 50 yards you're going to need to get for that field goal. It's getting to be a real concern here, if it hasn't been already. But what we do, particularly at the end with the chance to win, it's the third or fourth time this season, I think third.
Yes, third.
That we've had the time, we've had the opportunity, and you know, you call what you want. And I'd be interested, Chris, to hear what you have to say about it. I tend to think it's a quarterback / offensive coordinator type of thing, but it could be so many things and so few things. And the bottom result is that when you have an opportunity to go and win the game in the fourth quarter, not only do you fail or tie, not only do you fail, but it's laughable.
Well, here, let's break down the play. So the first play was a little four-yard whatever toss. We were sitting on that six for three plays in a row, right? So second and six, I think it was a four-yard pickup to Cook. Second play, clearly, you know, Jefferson dropped the ball, right? Where would he have ended up at the 40? Who knows? I mean, the guy can run pretty well. So he was wide open. So could he have gotten to midfield? I mean, maybe. He would have been trying to get out of bounds. So let's just say the 40, our 40, with a minute something left and a timeout. Let's not forget about that. He did drop the ball. That's the most – if I look at all the plays, that's the easiest one to make because it's right there. By the way, last week he dropped – or 2 weeks ago he dropped the ball, but he hadn't dropped the ball in 58 targets before that. So I'm not going to all of a sudden get mad at Jefferson. I think Jefferson needs more targets. Part of that is our system. Part of that is, well, if we're going to throw the ball 30 and 40, 50 times, we need more protection, yada, yada, yada. But that was the most – like – that was the play to make right there. Now, it doesn't mean it's over, but that was the play to make on those set of downs, the easiest one. Well, I guess the Cook one was pretty easy, but it's only 4 yards. So that would have been a first down. Who knows what happens? But the point is it didn't happen. Third down, that toss and throw and everything, it was going to – that's a very tough – Chris Carter on the edge of the – you know, guy draped on him, that's a really low completion type scenario, let's put it that way. The fourth down, obviously the pressure got to him. He couldn't even step into the throw. Thielen's shoe was on the, you know, off. I was like, what'd your shoe fell off? It was ugly, that part. And I'll say this, since we're on the play calling thing, Cook stayed in the block on that fourth down. Part of that is all the pressure they got, but it sure would have been nice as a something to do with only 6 yards to gain, to at least just chuck it out, have Cook out there, potentially. Like, he can stay and fake block or chip, and then boom. It would have been – like, I'll take my chances with a one-on-one in the open field for 6 yards with Cook. I would have liked that on the play call, because once it was a little – it wasn't a deep ball like we've done on other fourth downs, but, you know, it wasn't going to be an easy completion. But to your point –
no.
And when we go to – let's back – like 3 years is one thing. I noticed you cut that off at Cousins. But if we go back to Mike Zimmer, okay, which adds more people in there as well, not just Cousins, the Vikings have overcome two deficits of 9 points or more under Zimmer. One, 2016 week one against Tennessee. Two was Denver last year. They also – tied that Green Bay game when they were down as well. Remember 2 years ago or whatever, they were trailing down by 10. So two times we've walked away with a victory since 2014 without that. So on this particular drive, do I blame Cousins? No, I don't. Do I blame the play call? That last play call to decide to keep Cook in, I get it, but I still don't like it. The pressure came up the middle anyway. It is what it is, but I think your overall point is sometimes we get too conservative. Then all of a sudden, like earlier in the year, we're throwing on fourth and six a deep ball. It makes no sense. So I think it's a combination of stuff, but this has happened under Zimmer a lot. And maybe that is that conservative, you know, outlook. And he gives somebody an eye, and then that goes with your play call.
Yeah, I mean, I agree on most of your points there. And and you're right. The biggest thing I agree on is that you can't really put the blame on anyone in particular, but everyone. You know, it's a combination of so many things. And yeah, you can find everybody's looking for a scapegoat, but there really isn't one. Yes, Jefferson dropped a pass. You know, he's not going to drop many of those. I think I did it myself catching balls too. You know, it's an easy pass to catch, so you're already looking, scanning the field for where you're going.
Yeah, a lot of green. He wanted to see how many yards he could get, you know?
And it happens, you know? And I don't think it's going to be a chronic issue, so I'm not too worried about it. Yes, it was unfortunate at the time of the game. Probably could have got a first down, but he really hasn't been an issue as far as that turned. As far as play calling goes, I'm going to go with, you know, there's really nothing better this offense does well when executed as a screen pass to Cook. Yeah, he'll get positive yardage if you can block it, possible touchdown. Yeah, you go to the well a lot, but you got to go with what works.
It's a deep well.
It's a deep well, and I think, you know, that's something that could work. Obviously, you don't do it four times in a row, but, you know, you want it, you know, mix it up a little bit. So it's very definitely that. Now, a lot of people on Facebook were like, yeah, but the offense – you know, gained the lead back twice, you know, but they needed to do it three times. And that's the issue. It's not that they did it twice. That's great. And it probably should have been enough, but everybody knows our defense is not what it is. It's building, it's growing. Had a little setback on Sunday, but, you know, it doesn't matter how many times that happens. You go to win the game and you needed it three times and you got it twice. And I just don't like the fact that you'll watch another squad and, yeah, call it envy or just call it mystery. But, you know, you look at it doesn't even have to be Rodgers, Mahomes, anybody. They're going to do a little better in the two-minute drill. 137 is plenty of time to get in position for a field goal. Yes. For any other team.
Plenty of time. With the timeout.
Now, with the timeout. Yes. So, I mean, we could go on and on about this drive, but it's another horrendous drive. Was it as bad as the one early in the year, which was just ridiculously atrocious?
Yeah,
no.
We lost yards. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that bad, but it was pretty bad.
But it wasn't that much better, and especially when you got a chance to win, and it's kind of, you know, must win here, you know, just to keep your season alive. At this point, you know, we're packing it in, and we're tanking for Trevor again, and this is, you know, everybody's got these ideas of, well, how many games should we win? Or, you know, when if you win that game, we're thinking, okay, let's move forward. So it changes the whole dynamic of the season, and it's just unfortunate. And if it wasn't a pattern, I wouldn't think it was a problem.
Yeah, you're right. And it has been. And the thing is, you're right about the defense, you know, especially early in the season in this game, the three games in a row they played, you know, well enough to win. Played great in some of those games. So we know it's going to struggle, but we can't magically act like the offense is going to be all of a sudden a juggernaut either. They're playing better. This is the best offense Zimmer's had. And it's the best offense we've had since 2009. So I'm just talking statistically. I'm not talking offensive line, blah, 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 blah. Obviously Favre and Cousins, not even close in whatever, but you know, I'm with you on that. We needed to do that in that drive. We had plenty of time, no doubt about it. But as far as the whole thing, and if this comes up again this year, fourth quarter scores do count for something, though. I'll say that. And this is if you look at it, we've been in four scenarios now. I'm breaking it down on Twitter here. Somebody broke this down is where we actually scored touchdowns in the fourth quarter, right? Tennessee, we ended up losing that one, 31-30, and I think that's the game that we're talking about on that last drive. The Seattle, obviously, we know how that goes. That was a back and forth fucking shit. That was crazy. Sure that was. Needed to just get that first down and the game's over on in the red zone, and we're usually really good. Now, we scored a fourth quarter touchdown the week before against Chicago, won that. This one, we scored two of them, didn't get it done. But it kind of matters who you're playing to, in a sense. And when you're playing this team, I think those were good-ass teams that we lost to that way. Okay, I could take that on a chin. Still sucks. But I agree. This week, we needed to get it done. There's no doubt about it. Now, I'm glad that you didn't do the Mahomes thing because, first of all, Mahomes is only Mahomes, right? And second of all, they kept looking at that last play. Oh, my God, did you see? Well, hold on now. Let's be fair. Mahomes is going to the Hall of Fame if he stays healthy, for one. But two, did you see the pocket? Some guy actually responded, said he had to scramble. Now, like I said, I'm not doing the Mahomes cousin lineup. I'm not doing that. But if you're going to, like, you know, and I'm glad that, like you said, you don't have to go to Rodgers and Mahomes to say that. You could say we still should have scored on that drive, field goal or whatever. But when you look at the last play, a couple things are wide open for Mahomes. Mahomes, the pocket goes all the way left, no pressure. He simply moves out to the right where there's no one around, and the receiver's open, wide open, the number one tight end, maybe one of the best throwing options in the league. Probably another Hall of Famer if he stays healthy, wide open. So to me, it's so easy to see that and go, oh, look, well, yeah, but you can make your point without using that as an example. And they needed to. They were moving the ball. They needed to score, and they did not for a variety of reasons. Clearly, when you have Andy Dalton on 34 dropbacks, four pressures in that time, and I think two of them were on the same drive, you know, if you look at coming into this week, you know, and just how bad their offense had been, it's not a good look, you know, to do that. But also defensively, it's not like they were playing great. Had they improved a little bit lately? Sure. But we put three touchdowns on them in the second half. You're not going to score on all five drives, but a field goal on that last one was obtainable. And they dropped the ball. They dropped the ball on it this season. Only once that they won of the other four. And then also, it's been a long-term thing under Zimmer.
It has. And, you know, that's another thing, these haters that are coming out. It's like, dude, the defense has carried this squad for the last six seasons since Zimmer's been here. They're not 100%. Great this season, but they carry this squad. Now, you said, like you said, you know, we got statistically the best offense we've had. Does this mean Zimmer's right about preaching defense? You know, I think he's got a really good point. Now, yes, you do need a great offense, and I'm not going to say, but, you know, with his defense carrying this squad for 6 years, I don't think the offense has a lot of room to get all high and mighty about that. And another thing quickly, just to go back before we move on, about maybe solutions at the end of a game. We mentioned the screen passes a little bit, came to my head that, you know, Cousins is very good in rollout. And what rollout does is gets rid of the pass rush and gives you a run pass option on the outside, right? You see nothing, you run, get as many yards as you can, especially in a two-minute situation. I can't understand why that's not employed a little bit more. It just seems to make more sense to play to his strengths than to sit him back in a pocket with, you know, with a you know, aggressive defense at that point coming at him. It just, you know, your guys can't hold up. You know, Cleveland's out. We could go on for days about this, but, you know, roll him out, do something, throw some screens, change it up a little bit. If you got to find something in the 2 minute drill, and that's just kind of where I stand.
And we've done really well. We've documented it before this game. 6 out of 9 times we've scored, whether it's a field goal or touchdown, under 2 minutes, whether the drive started at the 5-6 minute mark and we scored under two or under two, we've done really well at the end of the half. It's the end, you know, in the first half. The end of the second half is ultimately what counts. But, yeah, one-on-one in the flat with Cook, I'll take my chances. I'll take my freaking chances. Okay, so next week now, and like I said, this shit sucks, and we could go on and on. But in the end, draft positioning, you know, we needed a variety of things to happen. And we played Tampa. So that would have been a chance to get a win up on someone. That's not going to be an easy win. We already lost to Seattle. they're lingering in that area. So Arizona, I guess, would be the one that we could, you know, go over or whatever. But, you know, at the time, that's no longer the case. Now they need to go 3-3, and we need to basically win out. But now we are headed – well, not headed. We're not going anywhere, but it doesn't – we're not good at home, regardless of away or nothing. It doesn't really matter this year, which is really telling, you know, that home field that we have at that place and just how berserk the fans are. Even in a mediocre season, they still go nuts. We don't know if Teddy is going to be healthy. He's listed as questionable. Christian McCaffrey, he's doubtful. If this mother effort comes back like Dalton did last week, and like, of course he will, and he'll probably have 30 carries. oh boy, but Teddy did practice last week. We don't know if, and he's going to practice tomorrow, so we don't know if he's going to play. So part of that prediction is an issue right now. Ezra Cleveland is the only one questionable, and I'm glad that you brought that up because you actually did see a difference there. Even though Brett Jones didn't play horrible, it just didn't seem like we ran the ball until the second half. But Carolina, you know, they've been involved in – I mean, they got their ass kicked last week without Teddy, 20-0 over Detroit. I'm sorry. They won. What am I saying? They won. But they were on a nice little losing streak, something we can, you know, relate to. They lost 46-23 to Tampa, had a really close game with Kansas City, ended up losing that game. I remember a year ago we lost 26-23. That was another one of those games that we actually didn't do enough in that last time we had the ball. Atlanta, 25-17. New Orleans, 27-24. So take out that Tampa Bay game, and coming off a nice outing against Detroit, who is like an every other week, maybe every couple of weeks type performer. You know, if they don't have McCaffrey, they don't run the ball as well. And right now we're giving up a 150 on the ground, which is it's not 122 on the ground. I was looking at what we gain, which is really good, obviously. We both can throw the ball now. Obviously, we've been throwing the ball more of late in these last two games and maybe the last, say, 5-6 games. Neither side really plays great defense. We both freaking average, you know, we give up more than we even average. We're averaging 26.4, giving up 27.8, and same with them on their side. So it is kind of a, they're 4-7, we're 4-6. This feels like a 50-50 type game. I think that the 4-point spread has to do with, is Teddy going to come in or not? What's your feel here, man? Because I wonder how we're going to react coming off a loss like that. It kind of makes me wonder. Now, we had a bye week after a horrible performance against Atlanta and turned that into three wins. But losing a tight game to Seattle, that was the Atlanta game. So is this going to be a repeat of the Atlanta game? Or are we going to bounce back and come out, I guess it's hard to say, all cylinders firing, because we don't really do that, all three special teams, defense, and offense this season?
Yeah, I mean, and you kind of brush on it. Is a win against Detroit, you know, really a thing? I mean, this season they're not playing well at all. And you're right, they're so spotty. And, you know, they got talent. They always have talent. They just, you know, 20-0 is – pretty embarrassing. But so I don't really put a lot of stock in that win that they had. And like you said, it's the spread and who's going to play. Is Teddy going to play? Is McCaffrey going to play? I mean, I think the McCaffrey thing's even more of a, you know, which way do you go on it than Teddy is. I mean, Teddy's good. He's better than their backup PJ, whatever his name is from the XFL, but he's not, you know, he's not as much of a difference maker, just because I think the kind of back that McCaffrey is could possibly tear us up. Now, Zimmer will have something for him, as he always does. But, you know, I think it's a tough game to call. I think on our side of the ball, it's, you know, I think, you know, we lost a bunch of games. Zimmer got him back up on the horse. They won three in a row. Nobody, you know, there wasn't a lot of infighting that you heard of in the media. And then we go lose like this. And, you know, Chris Jones apparently still seems to be on the squad. And he he's played well enough. He Olay'd that guy, but yeah, I'm willing to let him play just because we don't have a lot of guys, and Cam's not, you know, sticking his assignments. And, you know, I saw him on the bench and he wasn't even hanging out with the rest of the secondary. So something's going on there. So we'll figure that out. But, you know, he gets his stuff together and starts to make plays on the ball. He could be pretty good, but we're still waiting for that. And every week I mention it and we're still waiting for that. So, you know, okay. So I'm going to go and make two calls on this. I don't know if that's fair, but I'm going to do it. And I'll just combine Teddy and Mac together. So if McCaffrey and Teddy play, I think we lose the game. I think we lose it 23-28, something like that. I think our defense just couldn't handle that. They got enough on the outside to take care of business. I think they'll score more than us. Now, if you take Teddy out and McCaffrey out, and I would like to go through the other ones, but we just don't have time for that. So, you know, we'll, like, if McCaffrey does play and Teddy doesn't play, we could do that too, but I'm not going to do that. I'm already stretching it by doing two picks here, but let's say Teddy's out. I think we win. I think we win 21-23. I think it'll be close either way. And now just to combine those, because you can't get away with making two picks, I'm going to say that we lose that game 23-28. That's going to be my final call, but I did give the caveat for the if Teddy's out. And I really don't think he will be out, and I don't think McCaffrey will be out. I think Teddy has some incentive to get back in this game and you know, at least play the Vikings. And I think McCaffrey, you know, living in Loserville style, will have 30 carries and probably a pretty good day.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just make it basic. If McCaffrey's back, we're going to lose the game. If he isn't, we're going to win 27-23. And I think you could maybe reverse that I think it'll be, like you said, a tight-ass game. But I'm going to go with McCaffrey's not going to play. Like you said, Tuesday, it's tough to tell. If he's in, though, I think we lose because we can't stop the run. And he can run and catch the ball, and he's pretty damn good at it. And Teddy's a good fit for what they're doing there, no doubt. But I have the – if he doesn't play McCaffrey, Teddy or not, I think we'll win 27-23, yada, yada, yada. Just kind of closing this out. Obviously, if you haven't heard, people out there, the Gophers Wisconsin game is no longer happening. We were pretty close up to the edge already, and it just doesn't seem like it's a smart thing to do. Well, not smart thing. I don't think they can with the rules that they put in place. So the game is off, which in some sense, you know, we were going to get probably devoured because they were probably coming off being really, really pissed off that performance. Although they did have, I think, two guys on their offensive line. We had more of a spread problem, but they've had a problem on and off all year with their team, not necessarily the starters, but, you know, they've missed some time too. So now the good news is the Badgers are not eligible to make the Big Ten championship game. Not that they probably would have, because Northwestern beat them and now has the tiebreaker, but you know, there's something to be said about that. So there is no Gopher game to preview. However, the Gophers did grind one out 34-31. You know, if you look at the last couple of we talked about this in a loss against Maryland. If you look at the last two times they had the ball, 3 plays, 1 yard, 4 plays, 6 yards. I don't agree with going for it on 4th and 1 at your own 34. I do not agree with that. I don't care what any kind of analytics or hey, you know, the defense isn't playing great. That's great. They missed a field goal. We did get lucky. But hey, I think we punt that fucking ball away. I'm not a big fan of that. And then we turn right around and you know, they missed the field goal. But then we 3 and out and got 1 yard, like I mentioned. And this week, rather than Maryland, Aaron, we set it up looking like 3 and 4 wide receiver sets. It looked like we were going to pass. But then we just hand off. To me, put him in shotgun. You can still look like you're going to run. You can run on first down. But to me, you know, the defense sucks, but still we have wide receivers. I'm not talking you got to go deep down the field, but the vertical game, by the way, was back in this game. I think the pass protection was, you know, shoddy at times, but better It was a good win. I'm glad we got the win, 34-31. Speaking of conservative, though, it's like, guys, we got two solid wide receivers, and plus we don't have Mo. We didn't have Mo the last two because he messed up his wrist. So it was like, yeah, let's pass the ball a little bit, at least once, and it was three straight runs. And like I said, I do not agree with a fourth and one, especially when you call a timeout. Because it was like the play was – they weren't all set. Someone missed a block because I don't know if they were set or if they're all on the same page. They look a little flustered before the start of it. And if that play works, great. If he makes the block, great. But it's just a huge risk. And I know it didn't cost us in that individual area, but I just – I don't like the play call there at the third – you know, inside your own 30 or inside the 40, I suppose. And then, like I said, the three plays were just like run, run, run. And it's like you got maybe a first-round pick and a future probably second- or third-round pick. Throw the damn ball one time out of three downs.
Yeah, first of all, my heart goes out to Wisconsin Badgers and their poor hard luck season. Poor kids. I mean, come on. I zero sympathy for those guys, and you're right, they probably would have kicked the crap out of us if we had to play them, but you never know what can happen. But didn't look good in Mo. You know, you're running a lot of Mo, like you said, a lot of running. You got Cam Wiley, got a little bit in there and a little bit, but it's a lot of running the football this season. I don't really know why, because like you said, you got a first round and maybe a third round or second round pick, and maybe with another season two first round picks out on the edge, and right. You can't throw the ball, and you know, offensive line's an issue. You got Dunlap out and Fahalele out. You got your two best linemen, guys that are pro, kind of on the pro radar. But you know, if you can run the ball like that, and you can protect enough, which they did get some good passes off, and you know, some nice catches were made, but it just wasn't. It wasn't what we're used to seeing. Now, obviously, COVID year, all that stuff, things are going on. So we'll never really quite have our finger on it. And with this squad and the Vikings, I mean, it's just so hard to put your finger on it this season. There's not a lot of stability or things you can really hang your hat on both squads. And that's another thing. The fourth and one, Chris, I didn't really mind it as much because I'm always like, you know, yes, the field position, totally disagree. But then again, we go back to if you can't get 1 yard, what the hell are you doing out there? So, you know, it's I'm maybe old school thinking that, but
well, that's not an old school because old school, you'd never go for a fourth down and 38 on your own.
Sure. Yeah. As I said, the field position is the kicker. There is like, you're not in your own field. You don't do that. And I guess, you know, we're all leading up to this call, Chris, and that's the news of the day. And I was leaving a little shocked as to it myself. For those that don't know what the call is, I guess it's I don't know if it's the last play of the game, but the winning play, or at least the play that allowed us to win the game is.
Well, no, they just didn't score a touchdown because there's another play. We had an interception after that.
Yeah, we did. Josh Honey, but I didn't see anything. I've heard some people say, yeah, it was, you know, a little hold closer to the line of scrimmage, but you know, I don't want to win on a bad call and I don't want to lose on a bad call. I mean, I'm kind of in that school of thought. Yes, the whole game doesn't come down to one play, but yeah, I guess your thoughts really, my thoughts are just sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't, but I really didn't see anything there.
Yeah. I mean, one thing, like you said, you know, we can talk about this stuff we talked about in the Vikings game. If you want to look at the possession before, there should have been a holding call on them too, and they didn't call it. You know, it is what it is. No big deal. But on that one, seeing it on the TV, you can't really see much. And I don't know what people are talking about early in the play. I'm lost on that one. Oh, you know what it was? I'm sorry. The play before when they had the ball, the possession before when they scored a touchdown, that was not pass interference at all. And they called it. That's what it was because it was 5 yard contact. But this one, I don't know what anybody's watching at the beginning of that play because I didn't see a damn thing. But the second, if you look at, and this is what I love about Twitter because so many people have different angles and shit. And when you look at it, you know, the cornerback did not put the hand on the player. And usually if the reason why I bring that up is think about Rudolph last year against the Saints. If someone touches you, you have the right to clear space. You don't have a right to full arm extend, push off. And at the back end of that play on one angle, I've only seen on one angle, I can see why they made the call. Now, is that the right call? I'm not going to, you know, I'd be pissed. I wouldn't be, you know, it is what it is. But there was, he did straighten his arm at the end, but I only saw it on one angle, and but I can't really see it on the other angle. So it's like, yeah, I understand why they were pissed. But once again, we could talk about the they call the pass interference on the Gophers, and they scored a touchdown off of that, had it first and goal, when they would have had to kick a field goal. And just in, their field goal kicker sucked like ours. So it is what it is. But, yeah, I understand a lot of people up in arms, especially if you're a Boilermaker or just watching the game, because the long shots you had, it didn't look like there was any contact. I only saw one. But, yeah, you know, it is what it is, right? I mean, you win some, you lose some, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't see any. Now, I didn't see the angle that you saw, because there had to have been something. I mean, there just had to have been.
Oh, there was. He did straighten his arm. He did straighten his arm, but, you know.
But from the angle, like you said, from the angle I've seen, I didn't see any contact at all. But I'm definitely willing to believe, because, I mean, I don't think refs can just – I mean, but, you know, I don't know. I just want to get into the whole what a could have, should have been about it. But if you said you saw it, then you saw it. It makes me feel a little bit better about it. But like I said, from the angle I was seeing, I didn't really see anything on it. And, yeah, I mean, you go back in the game and – calls here and calls there, but I just don't remember one that was so, you know, it just kind of felt weird. You know, I guess this is the way it would, after you're like, whoa, that was kind of interesting.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. But, you know, so on, they win, and they needed the win. I mean, you lose to Purdue there and you got issues, but you kind of have issues. But like I said, and I don't want to repeat it every show, but I just not putting a hell of a lot of stock in this season. It's nice to watch the games, but as far as really judging and, evaluating, you know, roster and sure, gameplay and all that stuff, I'm not going to put a heck of a lot of weight on it. I will watch guys improve and see who's there and blah, blah, blah. But as far as like wins and losses, even in this one, I'm not going to, you know, I know they go on the record as of now, but I really don't think they're going to last, you know, if the longevity of it, I don't think they're going to really last in the record book, but they might, but I just don't see that happening. But yeah, so I mean, go ahead and follow us on Instagram. We've gotten a little bit more action. We've got players. We've got a lot of shows now. Everything's archived on that. So as far as back as I think maybe last season, we have a few, and then the summer shows where we did some looks at Vikings, Gophers, and the great shows. We had a lot of fun doing them. So follow us at Living in Loserville podcast. And I think I might even start a Facebook group page sooner or later here to get people involved, to get a lot of, you know, comments and a little chit chat about what happened in the games and so on. So it'd be nice to be able to maybe get some direct contact with our fans and you know, see what you guys have to say about things.
Yeah, the 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2009 rewind, and some Garnett in there. Go ahead and look at that still that I showed you. Do you see the straight arm? I just sent you it, just real quick before this ends.
Yeah, let me grab my phone here. I'll go ahead and see. Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at any kind of contact, I'd be glad to see.
Yeah,
I mean, me feel a little
zoom
bit
in on that I just sent you. This is what I saw on Twitter, and it looked like a straight arm to me, but it is what it is.
So what they're saying is he is off. Okay, so let me see here.
So when you have a straight arm and the push-off, that's what they normally call. And you can see his arm is straight. Like, it's a push-off right there before he even gets in the end zone. That's another thing. They kept playing while he was already running in the end zone. So I was like, well, you didn't
even
show
that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying there. That was the – sorry to interrupt, but that was that was the earlier in the play that I was talking about. Yeah. That's what people have been
referencing. They kept just showing the end of the play. It's like, well, hold on. Back up 4 yards. There's a straight arm there. You can see him separate. Like, you see his arm? It's out there. Like,
yeah, it is.
You know, so it wasn't a phantom call, basically.
Maybe it was the timing when the, you know, because you see the ball uncaught, or you see the ball caught and then you see the flag come out. I think that probably had the timing of the flag being thrown. I mean, if you would have threw it there, I don't think anybody would have a question, you know, in the, as far as the timing went. But it's possible that Yeah, I don't know. It just, you know, it went
away.
Yeah, I was
just showing you contact. That's all.
Sure.
It could have went away.
Yeah, I'm going in my head here just trying to think about, well, yeah, because I don't, like I said, don't want to win on a call, don't want to lose on a call. So, you know, it's good to know that, and it's nice to see that because I really didn't see that. But that is sort of the contact that everybody's talking about a little earlier in the play.
Yeah, and I thought you meant like line of scrimmage earlier.
No, I mean,